As we begin the instructions for this retreat, I would like to offer you three companions for the retreat. Three things that can accompany you and support you. First, your ever-present companion awareness, the ability to know what's happening. Some kind of awareness is always present. However, often we don't know it. And mindfulness practice is to be aware enough, clearly enough, that you could say you know that you're aware. And to know that awareness is here is a great protection, is a great support, is a great companion. The second companion is your breathing. The regularity and rhythm of breathing is a wonderful place to be anchored to the present moment, to be connected to your body. And the rhythm of breathing, the constancy of breathing in and out, can create a thread through all the experiences we have that helps us from wandering off too far into thoughts and fantasy and getting lost in our emotions, and to kind of keep an eye on your breathing, stay connected to your breathing, have it, let it be the constancy that moves through and grounds you here. And the third companion is to relax. To remember to notice any tension or holding you have in your body, mind, or heart. And within reason, to soften around it. If it's possible to let go of any way you're being here that has tension as part of it. You're straining. To be aware, to stay connected to your breathing, and to relax. So to begin this session of meditation, it's helpful to always give some attention to your posture. Not only to help you have a nice aligned posture, but also it's a little exercise in beginning to be mindful, to be grounded here in your posture, in your body. You might feel your sitting bones on your cushion or your chair. Feel the solidity or the weight or the rootedness. As a reminder that here you are, here and now. And feeling how the weight sits on your sitting bones. And if you feel imbalanced in any way, more weight on the left or the right, or more forward or more backward, you might kind of rock back and forth a little bit and see if you can find a balanced place for your weight. And then from that support, have your attention slowly go up your spine, vertebrae by vertebrae, to see if there's a better way to have the weight of your body balanced on your spine. Maybe small adjustments. It feels more like the weight sits on one vertebrae on top of the other. Sometimes it's useful, the space between the shoulder blades, to really give some attention there, to feel it's balanced. And then after giving care to your posture, it can be useful to establish a stronger connection to your whole body by two or three or four times taking some long, slow, relaxed breaths. And as you breathe in, feeling your torso expand and stretch. And as you exhale, settling in, relaxing into your body. And then letting your attention return to normal. Your breathing return to normal. It can also be helpful at the beginning of a meditation to scan through your body to see if there's any places, obvious places, that you can relax and soften your body while maintaining an upright spine. Maybe as you exhale, to soften around the forehead and the eyes. Perhaps softening around the jaw. Maybe having the teeth fall apart slightly. And then if you want to have the teeth back together, float the teeth back together. Perhaps there can be some softening around the shoulders, the area of your shoulder blades. Softening around your chest. Any holding or bracing up to life in your chest. Relax, soften. And softening the belly. If it's easy enough, it's nice to have the belly hang forward and down. No effort is made pulling the belly in. Soft belly as you sit here. And then to use the breathing as an anchor, as a companion. Remind yourself that your body has been breathing for a long time. And it's nice to notice how the body experiences breathing. What's the body's way of experiencing breathing? So you're not so much in the control tower in the head, kind of watching and commenting on the breathing. But you're in the body, feeling and sensing what happens in the same way you'd be in a bath, feeling the water, lowering your attention into your body, and feel the physical experience of breathing. You might feel it in your belly as your belly moves, or the chest as the chest moves, or the sensations in your nose, the air goes in and out. noticing there is a kind of rhythm to breathing in and breathing out. Noticing how the experience of breathing in, the inhalation, is a different experience, different sensations than breathing out. And then one of the most important parts of all this, most useful part, is starting over again. Every time the mind wanders off in thought, and you notice it, appreciate the chance to start over again with your breathing. Don't take it as a problem that you're starting over, but rather the whole movement of starting over. It's a very important, useful part of the training. And finally, as a way of helping you hang in there with one breath after another. Some of you might find it useful to very quietly, softly in the mind, say the word in as you're breathing in, out as you're breathing out. And it's a way of using a subtle thought to help you stay present rather than having your thoughts take you away. A gentle mental note as an encouragement to stay right here, stay with these breaths. And when you lose touch with your breathing, gently start over again. So the breathing is often a very good companion to have. And one of the things that mindfulness of breathing can do is to show how little you're with your breath. And that your mind is often, you know, thinking, racing, going off in other places. And by having the breath as a reference point, you're more likely to notice that. And in doing that, it's maybe easy to get discouraged if the mind goes off a lot, but it's actually very helpful to start seeing what's actually going on with the mind and how much momentum there is to think and be involved in things. And so rather than being discouraged, it's a good sign of mindfulness to see that, know it, and to have relaxed awareness of what is a very useful. It's okay to have a mind that drifts off. Just if you know it, great. And then as soon as you can, begin again with your breathing. And this idea of beginning again, I choose those words carefully, because sometimes people talk about bringing the mind back. And the idea of bringing the mind back to the breath, some people interpret that as kind of like jerking the mind, kind of like I'm pouncing back on the breath or something. And it's kind of like, you know, and a beginning again doesn't have to imply that you're moving your mind back but it's more like beginning again, like you allow the experience of breathing come back into your awareness. So more like you're welcoming it back, you're allowing it to come back, you're allowing the experience of breathing to fill your awareness. And so it can be sometimes a little more relaxing than, you know, in the control tower, kind of like, okay, now I've got to do this, and that's kind of, you know, come back as a command. And then the regularity of coming back, the over and over and over again, has a big impact, because each time you come back, see how easy it is to do it? I'm trying to... each time you start over again, that slowly beginning to disinvest yourself in the momentum of thinking. You're slowly beginning to not fuel or feed the tendency to think. And so the more opportunities you have to start over again, the more that momentum begins to quiet down. So that's one of the reasons why, you know, if you have a chance to start over again, you should be happy. Oh, good. And if you don't need to start over again because you're just staying with the breath, that's also very good. And if you are lost in your thought and you don't even know that you're lost, then there's no problem. You're not present enough to know you have a problem. So you have three options, you know. You can have no problem. You can know that you're thinking, and then just start over again with your breathing. Just simple like that. Be happy you can do that. Or you stay with your breathing. And in all those three options, there's no need to feel discouraged. Some of you will be discouraged. Then just be aware of that and relax. And hopefully these words I'm giving today kind of help you kind of put it in a different context. You're a little bit easier with yourself with it. The first day of a retreat, there's often a lot of momentum that we bring with us to the retreat from our daily life. A lot of the concerns we have, the recent events, the impact they have on us, on our emotional experience, how we're sitting here. Sometimes our life experiences catches up with us when we're on retreat because we've been maybe going a lot, going, and we haven't stopped enough to feel the impact of some of the experiences we've had. And we slow down, we stop here, and then certain emotions that have been there in the background come to the foreground. Certain thoughts and concerns finally have a chance to surface. And this is all normal. It's maybe in some ways kind of healthy that we stop and we get to see what's here and our life catches up to us. And then we practice with it. And part of the way we practice with it is try to be okay. Try to not be in. One of the real core things we're trying to do in this practice is not to be in conflict with what is. To practice without being in conflict with whatever is happening. But we are trying to wake up. We're trying to be mindful and clear and be present. And as I said, breathing is a great place for many people because it's an anchor. It's always there. It's in the body. So you come back and just be with your breath. Have that as the anchor. Have that be the tether that keeps you here, rather than drifting off in thought. The first day is often a day of tiredness. That's also part of the momentum of our lives. Some people have, it's a big deal to come here, travel here from far away, or maybe not travel far away, but to get all the affairs of life set so you can come here. And some people stay up late the night before and arrive tired. So just know that that's part of the first day for many people. More Americans need sleep than they need meditation. And so if you need to take a nap today after lunch or some point, please take a nap and get some rest. If you're sitting here and your mind feels really tired, and I encourage you, please don't feel bad about it or feel discouraged. Just take it as being the first day experience. And the practice then is to do the best you can with that. It doesn't look that hot, but do the best you can. That's all you're expected to do. And part of that is to be gracious with it. To be gracious with yourself and not beat yourself up or come to grand conclusions about meditation because you're tired. You're just tired. Sometimes the first day, this momentum, this change, this shift to a new whole new place and everything, people are surprised that their body hurts more than they expected it would hurt. Sometimes they have a headache. Sometimes all kinds of things can happen this first day. Be extremely generous during the first day. Extremely gracious. Don't be somehow upset or too concerned about what happens for you. If it is a little challenging today, just take it, it's challenging. Let's try not to be in conflict with this. Let's try to just do the best we can. And usually by the second day, things begin to shift, change, and probably to change even during the first day. So I offer that to especially those of you who are new, so that if you find yourself with aching bodies, headache, tired, or something like that, it normalizes a little bit. And you don't take it as being too serious. Do you have any questions you'd like to ask about being here, about practicing with the breathing, or anything you'd like to ask? Yes, please.
seems to be different philosophies about, you know, coming back to the breath or bringing the breath in. And I think I asked this on the last retreat too, but it's always on my mind, this idea of is it bad to follow the mind? Do you know what I mean? There was someone here who were talking about mindfulness of mind.
Mm-hmm. So she asked about there's different ways of practicing, different kinds of practices. Sometimes there's a great emphasis on the breath as a foundation, and then there's also a practice of mindfulness of the mind where you just follow the mind. You leave the mind free to do whatever it wants, but you stay right with it with awareness. So there's a clear awareness of what's happening in the mind. So you're not kind of lost in it, but you step back in a sense and see it for what it is. For some people, that's a great practice. It's often a practice that's not so useful when the mind is very busy and agitated. And so usually it's better to, most people find, to settle down first and develop some concentration, some stability of mind, some steadiness of mind. That is one of the functions of breath meditation. It helps steady things, stabilize, calm things down. And then at some point it becomes more productive to open up to what's going on in the mind. So like on our retreats, we usually wait until like day four to really include that. But some people find it useful from the beginning to do that. So if you know that it's helpful for you, you're welcome to do that. I'd encourage, what we're encouraging here is that people, unless you know otherwise, trust your breathing. Come back to the breathing. Keep it really simple. And it's very easy when the mind is kind of already not really stable, when you're following the mind practice, to actually be a little bit confused about how much you're actually lost in thought. Yes, please.
Can you say a little bit more about taking field notes?
It's just I said yesterday, yeah. Yeah. So it was a particular way that we were trained in Burma by the teacher I studied with. And that was at the end of the sitting, we had to write in this little notebook just the facts, just what happened in the sitting. So I sat down, I connected to my breathing, the in-breath, there was a series of little jerks of expansion moving out, I felt the stretching of the rib cage. Then when I exhaled, I felt the release of that, and end of the exhale, I felt a little pulling in. At some point, I noticed that I had a desire in my mind. I noted it as desire, and it went away. I went back to the breathing. I noticed the breathing was a little bit tighter than it was before. I noted it as tightness, and like that. So no judgments, no evaluation. And it was a training, by writing this down, it was a training that to also keep it that kind of matter-of-fact, no commentary, no judgments, and stay with the basic experience, just that in the moment, in the sitting itself. So that's how we did it. Because the art of this mindfulness is to how to be mindful without a lot of commentary and without a lot of judgments, without stories connected to it. It's amazingly how simple the practice is once you get a hang of it. Just the simple experience right now, the obvious experience. You don't have to go digging or looking, just this. So a few announcements, and that is, in a few minutes, Adrian's going to do walking instructions for walking meditation. Then I'll do a posture instruction at 11 o'clock, and I'll announce it then, but those of you who want to stay can stay in the hall during the beginning of that walking period, and I'll do the instructions. And reminder, we'll have this person, friend of IMC, IRC, coming to film me as I do it, so. And then, in the after, we'll make some more announcements. In the evening, we have a little bit of things that we do that's not on the schedule, and I'll announce what those things are when we give the Dharma talk. So, Dharma talks at 4 o'clock, and if you could also. all of you, give a kind of a second look or second thought about if it might be having scented products with you. It's kind of hard to track because sometimes people have their, bring their own like toiletries, and maybe it says natural scent, and well, then it's okay, right? But actually, natural scent is a scent as well. Or sometimes people's laundry detergent, some has very strong laundry scent. It's maybe it feels very nice, but it's people get migraines from scent, for example, can be triggered, and you might not have noticed that you brought, you know, you've habituated yourself to it, that smell, you don't even know you have it. So if you could be, and that's why we have you know, all the toiletry and shampoo and conditioners and soaps we have here are all been well vetted to make sure that they work for people who don't need scents. So if you have any doubts about whether you have if you do, you know, something has a scent in it that you're using, it's better not to do it. Or you can go to the managers and they have good noses. They can, you know. And then the other thing is, you know, quite a few people are sniffling. Some people have allergies. I have a little allergy when I come here sometimes from the pollen. And so if those hearing assistant devices we have out there, they work really well in most of the building. And so you're welcome to take it with you and sit outside, sit downstairs, sit in your room, and if that kind of supports you better with blowing noses and coughing and all that. And lots of hand washing is good.